Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I want to tell you that when you're prophesying and you're speaking out what God is telling you, your hopes are, man, I sure hope I'm missing this. I sure hope I'm missing this. And then as all this puzzle begins to come together, you go, oh my goodness.
I really
And then you start saying, I hope we repent. I hope we repent. And then it goes further and you're going like, this ain't good. Mm-mm. This ain't good. And the progressiveness of beginning to really see, because, you know, we all prophesy in part, we know in part, and oh my goodness. We have a program for you today on VFN Radio. Going to be sharing with you some prophecy, a fresh rhema from God. We're going to also be sharing with you what is happening. This is God's news behind the news, and you know, a biblical perspective of what's going on. But also, a year ago this week, a prophecy was given on VFN Radio, shared on VFN Radio, which you can always get to these by going to VFNTV.com, click on prophecies, and or you can just search them out on the VFN Torch. And it has happened. It's totally come into pass. And I mean, really, when you think about it, normally a prideful nation, a prideful person, a prideful, I mean, that's the last thing that you think about when you're prideful, is that your destruction is at the door.
Right. Mm.
That captivity, that trains are, that they're building a place to help you out.
Right. Transition package.
A transition package. And, but what's so cool, if you have not yet heard and you got to hear this, last Sunday, on VFN Radio, and you can hear it live every single Sunday presently at 10:30 a.m. Central Time, but you can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org from the VFN Dream Center. As you know, I was speaking prophetically about how to position ourselves even in a vast present danger, you know, coming to inevitably destroy you as an individual, your relationship, your family, your business, your state, your nation, your country, the world, that we serve a God who holds the world in his hand. Mm-hmm. And kind of the picture I saw in my spirit this morning, you know, America is like a ship, if you picture it like a ship. And I've seen it as a ship sometime, you know, in my heart. And if you've been listening to VFN Radio prophetically, you're saying, you hear me say things progressively like, hey, we just got a few ropes holding us, you know, mm-hmm. one more rope left. It's like, we don't have no ropes. And then it's like, we got a hole in the ship. And this was progressing. There's holes everywhere. She's sinking. Learn how to swim. It's just like, you know, Pat Robinson with CBN and seeing the same ship go over the waterfall mm-hmm. that I saw, you know, being pushed over the cliff. And when you think about a ship, I mean, of all the things, a ship represents the strength of a nation. I mean, you think about it, that it has USS, right? Mm-hmm. United States power, United States ship, and they just throw a name on the end of it. Mm-hmm. Whoever in that season they're wanting to recognize, the USS Intrepid, the USS Enterprise, the USS Ponce, the USS Dominant, all the different boats that's about there, the USS Kennedy, the USS Lexington, the USS Corpus Christi. But what's common with all those is that United States ship is the power. When in our history, and we need to really learn about history, is we find out that you know, people were coming against America historically, and what our president did at the time was take a whole bunch of our USS ships, paint them all white, and basically go around the nation called the Great White Fleet, that just kind of showed our strength. Mm. And it was basically, you know, leave us alone, quit pirating our ships when we're going over to get our tea, you know, whatever, right. And our spices. And it was called the Great White Fleet because it's power, you know, everything, what it really means has been so taken away from everybody. Nothing means anything to anybody anymore. But just because it means nothing to you does not mean that it still means what it means. Mm-hmm. It just means you chose to be ignorant. Right. You chose to bury your head in the sand of denial. you chose to just get a prescription, a subscription to something that gives you no content of reality at all, whether it's some movie package or cable package, something. I mean, you divert news at every moment, and news is, you know, used to be at least, you know, reality. And VFN Radio, we're trying to be able to bring some sane voices. When I think about the prophetic word that was given by Rick Joyner. And in the context of that word was that everything's shifting, and the news we're going to have to get, it's not going to be the same way anymore. We need to be able to rise up and be voices of, you know, especially being Christians, we have just God's perspective of the news. What is the biblical perspective of the news? You know, we're not really concerned about a lot of things that the world would be concerned about, but we're concerned about, you know, how does God want us to react to this? How do we want to respond? What is the now word? This is what he says in the prophetic word to the church in the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, is hear what the Spirit says to the church. And so you got to constantly be in a state of hearing, but not just hearing and doing nothing, which would be deceiving ourselves, but hearing and then doing what we hear. We call that abiding.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I look and I'm thinking, my goodness, and this is going to be made available to you in probably Vine Fellowship Network's store, or at least part of it is available on VFNTV soon, VFNTV.com, is, you know, how to position yourself. Let me get you the title of it so you'll be able to find it and look it up. But it's just so important because what I'm about to the other word the Lord has given me is lines up exactly with that, what he spoke to me this morning. And I have this word here, and I'm going to get it, and I'm going to take my time getting it, so I actually have the exact title for you. Facing impossible odds with God brings possible victories from our enemies. Facing impossible odds with God brings possible victories from our enemies. Listen, facing impossible odds by yourself, with your own talents, your own ideas, while you're denying God and trying to scrape his name off the face of everything, brings definite destruction, by the way. And but with him, by the way, dig in your pocket if you still have a coin, not a Bitcoin, but a coin, and look on the very edge of the coin, not even on the coin, but look on the edge of it. They've moved God to the edge of the coin. It says, "In God we trust." And it's actually imprinted on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have so many signs right now that I can't even, there's just no way. You just have to listen and believe. This is, and when you hear this part one of the teaching, and I'm going to begin to talk about this prophetic teaching, is, you know, you got to not only have faith in God, which is complete faith, which means corresponding action. You believe what he says and you do what he says, and you believe in a way that you receive it. So it's a done deal. In other words, you believe God, and that's what moves God's faith. That, he says, if you do this, then you'll be upheld. But also, if you have faith in the prophet, you'll be successful.
Hmm.
And there's a lot of people that are upheld. Yeah, you survived it, but it's a mess. And it's because you refuse to listen to those that God's put in your life, the leadership that God's put in your life to be able to lead you through this. You know, you're upheld, yes, but you're missing a few things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, a leg, an arm, a house, stuff, things, whatever, job, whatever. But if you listen, he says you got to have faith in God and have faith in the prophet of God. And that's the one who's hearing from the Lord. There's a lot of people saying they're hearing from God, but this is how you know it's a prophet or not. First of all, it draws you closer to God and gives you a fear of the Lord, not a fear of man. Secondly, it happens.
Mm, yeah.
You know, and not always. I just say, just do what God tells you to do and let people perceive whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't help but notice a few things, that God has shared with me over the years has come to pass. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
You know, and I guess that would be a prophet. I mean, granted, I don't have a business card that says I'm a prophet. You know, I don't.
Or a plaque on your wall.
I actually go by Greg, by the way. for those that relate to me, you'll probably just call me Brother Greg. And of course, if you're in an American church, they call everybody a pastor. So, but that's it, you know? And it's like, who cares what people call you? Are you hearing from God? And we're 1 year ago today, there was a word given, because 1 year ago today, America was deciding and choosing. We were on the precipice of deciding, who do we want to lead our country? Who do we want to lead our country? And you had everybody, you know, saying all kinds of things. And we were going to choose who was going to lead our country. And the picture that the Lord showed me, like I said, it was about the ship. But what I saw was, this morning in my spirit, was a ship. And imagine, by the way, there used to be, used to have to paddle the boat with oars, like paddles. And so imagine there's no, you know, there's no motor on it. There's no solar panels carrying it down the street. It's just, and imagine Americans, all of us, sticking an oar in the water. And what I saw was, because this is a government by the people and for the people, we're the ones that can do anything we really want to in the context of this nation, because, you know, we choose our representative government. We can't blame, you know, Washington for anything. We got to realize we select these leaders and we talk to them and we hold them accountable to our values and whatever that is. But it's us, it's the people. And what I saw was, what the Lord showed me was, you know, every American had a, well, the people who have an oar in the water, that determines where the boat's going to go. It determines how fast it's going to go, et cetera. That they all had an oar in the water who were trying to do something with this country, but they all were paddling in different directions.
Oh, wow.
With no leadership.
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right.
And it's like, first of all, save your energy. Save your energy. It's like, really? There was like, you know, everybody was doing what was right in their own mind. That's kind of what God said about the days of Noah, right?
Yeah.
By the way, and he also said, when he comes, it'll be like the days of Noah.
That's right.
He'll come like the thief in the night. In other words, you won't be expecting it. Like I said before, pride is so interesting, is that right before you die, you don't know you're going to die. You're like shocked. I can't, what happened? You know, and possibly, you know, sort of like the man that Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries had the vision of. He was actually in heaven talking to this man. And he said, there was a minister. And he said, what do you, and it was like different levels in heaven. And he was on the, he was in the basement of heaven. No, he's in the lower level. And he's going like, what are you doing here? You know, what's, what are you doing here? And he says, I just want to, you know, I'm just so thankful and grateful that God gave me a wasting disease, a wasting disease. I'm just quoting here. I'm not telling you, I didn't see it, but this man has proven, we're walking in a lot of the things that he actually saw and he penned out in The Call and Epic Battles of the Last Days. And so, Rick Joyner, I'm talking about. And so he says, thankful. He says, yeah, but at the very end, I humbled myself. And that's what got him into heaven. It wasn't all of his ministry, all of his work. And pride is a very scary thing, because with it, that, my goodness, you're not even going to know that you're about to be destroyed. Wisdom is crying aloud in the streets. It's shouting from the rooftops. I mean, this is what the scriptures say, and I'm going to talk about it, because 1 year ago today, I talked to prophetically about what's being verified in the headlines today. We were choosing our leader, you know, and, you know, salvation is in God alone, and it's unfair for anybody to think that you can vote anybody into office anywhere and expect them to be God. And that's what's happened, really, in a lot of past cases. And men will never live up to that, by the way.
Never.
And, but that was the time that the GOP was saying, you know, was, they'll happen to delay their, and that's where the Republican crews are getting together to be able to talk about, I guess, whoever they're going to choose for their leader. And I'm going to talk to you about it, that God literally sent laughter over that place. He sent laughter over that place and shut it down and began to flood it almost. And I'm going to talk about that. And it was by the name of Hurricane Isaac. And I began to prophesy. And then something happening at the Empire state building that happened to verify that. And we have this in the VFN torch, these prophetic words, but also the very same thing that was chosen, because right after that or before it is when the Americans, and when you think about Republicans, you're thinking about Americans who chose a party or something. And you think about Democrats, you think about Democrats who chose a party. You know, Jesus is not Democrat or Republican or independent. He's mm-hmm. God, you know? And so, and we're for Jesus. And the values that he wants us to be able to walk by. But at the same time, you had, this is also available on the VFN Torch, and maybe this will all be available in the context of what I'm talking to you now. And but the Democratic National Convention was meeting, and they were making a public statement at the same time God was laughing over this other crew down in Florida, that they were saying they didn't want God in their platform. And they booed God. They booed God. Did they not?
Yeah.
They booed God. They booed God. And we literally, you can see pictures of them booing and taking pictures of somebody who stood up and said, I'd like to have God back in the platform again. It's like, you really think they're going to, I mean, they may put his name in there, but they're not going to put his will in there. Mm-mm. And they were taking pictures of him like they were going to take him out or something. And he was like, that's another American. That was another, a Democrat was taking a picture of a Democrat. Like, don't you dare. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. It's like, what are y'all doing? We're all Americans here. Mm-hmm. So when God was laughing at those crew down in Florida, he was laughing at America. What happened at the Democrat National Convention, that was America saying that. God doesn't see us as parties. He sees us as one nation. And then a particular lady with part of the platform, and they have different offices, you know, each of these parties or whatever, but her name was Vastai. Mm. Was Vastai.
Mm. Wow.
And she's coming out, and I believe it was a mayor from San Francisco, whoever, but I was going to bog me down if I think about too much right now. He came out there and they said, listen, this ain't going to work in this country. We're going to have to go out here and somehow get God back in this platform. I'm assuming that's what happened. I can't tell you exactly. But when he came out, they already predetermined that they were going to put God back in, you know, verbally, and they were just going to formally but informally act like they were taking a vote. Mm-hmm. But when they took a vote, they were shocked because there was more no's than there was yeses mm-hmm. to put God back in. And so finally, since this whole thing was preformed, which means, by the way, the thing before that was preformed, so this is their finding out, we're going to have to deal with this, that they went ahead, he just went ahead and said, well, you know, let's the decision passes. Mm-hmm. And then that's when everybody goes, boo, boo, boo. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I wish I had it up now. Somebody can get it and listen to it. But this is all, I mean, you're going to see this. You can go to the VFN Torch and you're going to be able to see and hear these things I'm talking about. And then the mayor, who
Los
Angeles mayor, looks over at the lady who's standing beside him and says, you got to give them what they want. Mm-hmm. You got to give them what they want. And that's the God that we serve. He's not going to push himself on us. Mm-hmm. We have to want him. And it was, he prophesied. You have to, you know, people say, how could that be? Well, think about it. God's about to be crucified. Jesus is about to be crucified. And somebody yells out in the crowd, let his blood be on our head. That's a simple statement that was made in the crowd. And we still talk about the day. Why? Because it was a prophetic word.
That's mm-hmm. right.
These are all prophetic utterances. All these things are happening are signs to us. And thank God for a sign, because they point us back to God and say, mm-hmm. listen, we need God back in this thing. And then it was like the chairman of chairwoman of it, and I can't, and you can find this on the VFN Torch. She says, and her name is Vastai.
Mm-hmm.
And Vastai is the one that said, you know, if you understand that, we also have that happening. And then that manifested even in a ministry in America, a very powerful situation where basically it was a Vastai situation, mm-hmm. and we didn't want to say anything about it, but we wanted to be able to hopefully give balance to the church, God's perspective of it, so that we can hold our homes together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm about to share with you what was shared in the time, this about a year ago, this time last year, is coming to pass right now in the Mediterranean. You're going to be shocked. And it has to do with Syria, has to do with Israel, and has to do with America. It's taking place in our presence over the last, when we launched, you know, VFN Radio and VFN TV to the world, and we have now people listening from around the world. We did it for the purpose of what God is sharing with us. We wanted to make it known. We didn't want to be said of us in history. We didn't want to be said of us in history that we didn't tell you what God told us. And what he says is, if I make you a watchman on the wall and you don't tell people what I've told you, then whatever's going to happen is still going to happen, but their blood's going to be on your hands. But if you tell them what I told you, and you can hear, see these words and watch these on VFN TV at VFNTV.com, and they do repent, he says, you've won them over, and this thing just stops. It doesn't happen. But if you tell them and they don't listen to you, which is basically listening to what God shared with you, so basically listen to what God is saying, the warning, he said, the same thing will happen to them, but their blood will be on their own head. And so this word of God was just pushing is like, if we go to our graves without saying this, then we go to our graves with your blood on our head.
Mm-hmm.
The blood of all those who would have listened if we would have told them, at least would have heard. I can't tell you the outcome. You still got to, it's amazing how many people will hear what God says and just go ahead and walk down the road of destruction. But he says, but to save your own life, Ezekiel, to save your own life, you're going to have to tell them. And so it is a battle for yourself before God to get right with God. And nobody can save you other than Jesus Christ and you getting right. There's no such thing as a vicarious relationship through your pastor, your parent, your spouse, a good friend, or some little Bible study thing. It's you just knowing Jesus. It's an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. And, you know, we shared a couple of our stories that you can find out about, you know, our journey and just some of the things that happened to help you know, maybe that can encourage you in making the decision and realize that God loves you and has a plan for your life. You can see them at meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org. But I'm talking about a prophetic word that was given 1 year ago today, this week, and it's coming to pass. Because remember, we were choosing at that time. America was choosing who our leader was going to be. And what we were saying, pray, pray, let God lead you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let God lead you. Spend 2 weeks abiding or 6 weeks abiding with God before you even open your mouth. Let God speak to you and then vote as he leads you.
Mm-hmm.
And talk to people and find out who they are and their value system and in the context of that. And this is what America chose. And Washington, for example, reflects the heart of America. It reflects the heart of America. And so you can't. You know, you cannot criticize the mirror that's in Washington, D.C. That's a mirror of America's heart. They're representative. We sent them there. You know, we voted them. That's how they got, that's how the 530 some odd leaders got there. They got there because some people went to a particular, for whatever reason, to a voting booth. They pulled a lever and they, as a government, by the people, they chose who their leaders are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So what's being done right now, what I'm talking about, is because you chose for this to be done. America chose for this to be done.
Right.
And the word that was given, it was given on August the 24th. You can see it on the VFN Torch, August the 24th. And Republican National Convention was going on, and that's where I guess the Republicans are going to, I guess, choose or lift up whoever they want to be their particular person. And it was right before September the 5th, where the Democrats were doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they had it all set up, I believe, what was in Tampa, was it, John?
Yes.
In Tampa. And it just so happens that a hurricane, was coming out of the East. And it was coming in, and they were trying to predict, should we stop this? Should we delay it?
Mm-hmm.
And you can read about this. And it went right smack dab over the Republican National Convention. And based on the map I'm looking at, and you can see this on the VFN torch, it was at 75 miles an hour, huge storm wind right over, and they had to delay it.
Right.
I think they cut off the first couple of days of something. And so immediately God began to speak to my spirit, and you can hear this. You can make this is available to you. And it's entitled Hurricane Isaac is a Warning Shot Fired Over the Bow of America. But the Lord just began to just push me the way he'll push prophetically and just say, you know, hey, you know, this is a warning shot. Because you picture Florida as the bow of a ship, and America's a ship. Imagine the whole map of America's a ship. And then you got this pointy bow called Florida sticking out. And then imagine a gunshot being fired over Florida. And so what this hurricane was, it was shot over Florida. And it literally went over Florida. And the name of the hurricane was Laughter. Hurricane Isaac. Isaac means laughter. Remember when his mother found out that he was going to be born? She was so shocked, thought it couldn't happen, so she started laughing. We'll just call his name Laughter. By the way, that was a promise of God.
Mm-hmm.
That was the promise. And you can hear this, but then... Yeah, I talked about this, and I'll talk about it again. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 through 33, he says, this is what the Word of God says. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you, and I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I called and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, in turn, I will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind.
Mm.
That's what a hurricane is, like a whirlwind. When disaster, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. There's so many people today right now. God is just downloading dreams and speaking to them. And they're just like treating God like a buffet. I'll take two of these, three of those, not one of those. I'm not going to take any of it. And they're assuming that God will actually continue to speak. But I'm telling you right now that if we don't repent, the voice of the Lord will dry up.
Mm-hmm.
There will be no oil in the lamp. And those are sad days when you can't hear the voice of the Lord. He says, then they will call to me. Abide all you want to.
Mm.
Then you will call to me. And I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. And it just came over me. And I said, this is a warning shot fired over the bow of America. And within hours, I believe it was within hours, at the Empire State Building in New York City, the NYPD began to fire shots at the base of the Empire State Building. And the shots were being fired as the word came out, as the prophetic word was coming out, about what God's doing in Florida and over the nation. This is shot fired over the bow right before the other Americans in the DNC were going to say, we don't want God. In between, the sandwich in between this was the Empire of shots being fired, and the NYPD was firing at a potential suspect. And it's reported that innocent citizens were being killed.
Mm-hmm.
They missed. They just didn't. They couldn't. So innocent people were killed. So what is God saying? Listen, there's going to be death.
Wow.
There's going to be calamity. The storm is fashioned. God is warning. Who's paying attention? How did we respond to that? We went in September the 5th and had the Democratic National Convention and said, we don't even want God. We don't even want God. To make them happy, we'll say we do. But we don't even want God. That's Americans. You can't say them. That's us.
Right.
But when you hear about them booing God, as a matter, I want you to hear right now, this is mayor, which is the chairman of the Democratic National Convention at... a year ago, September. And listen, this is the proceeding where they're coming back out and to bring God in. I want you to listen to this, and I want you to listen to them boo God. But he's trying to bring God back in the platform because they've already pulled God out of the platform. They pulled God out of the platform.
Yeah.
America, they want to lead America and say, we want to pull God out of the platform.
Wow.
And by the way, the head of this particular party is our president. That's the head of it.
Okay.
Right. Listen up.
Recognizes the delegate from Ohio, the chair of the platform drafting committee, former governor Ted Strickland.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I move that we suspend the rules to permit an amendment to the platform adopted by this convention last night.
Now he's talking about, we just adopted a platform last night, and the platform he's referring to is we took a platform that had God removed out
right.
of it. He's going, I'd like to make an amendment. Very smart man, isn't he?
Yeah.
And then, by the way, these are Americans. Don't think of them as a party. Think of them as your brother and your neighbor. Think of them as your sister and your brother. These are Americans. We're all Americans. We're seen as one nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so an American stand up and goes, I'd like to make a motion to undo what we did last night.
Hello.
Now listen to the response. And they've already worked this out behind the scenes. This is their talk. Listen up.
Governor Strickland has made a motion on the floor to suspend the rules. Is there a second?
There is like a no going on, but understand they had to suspend the rules to be able to change what they did. They're trying to like, we got to fix this. Oh my goodness.
Wow.
We just took, and you're thinking, everybody's thinking that way, but you start hearing, you're looking at the crowd. How big is that crowd right there? I mean, it's packed out. I don't know.
At least 50,000, what do you think?
Yeah,
50, 60?
Yeah,
more?
But you can see this on the VFN torch. Yeah. You know, you can see it. But listen up. This is, they're talking about bringing God back in.
A motion to suspend the rules to permit the amendment to the platform has been moved and seconded. This is a non-debatable motion requiring a two-thirds vote. All of those in favor of suspending the rules, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. In the opinion of the chair, there's been a two-thirds affirmative vote to suspend the rules.
Okay, they set the platform now. Everybody's going, yeah, let's go ahead and whatever this issue is, let's bring it out, deal with it so we can move on. And so everybody's agreed, let's bring it up. So that's not like they did it against anybody's will. They said, okay, bring Jesus and Barabbas out here.
And that was pretty clear.
That was pretty clear.
That was pretty clear.
Bring these us Americans are going, bring Jesus and Barabbas out here. Bring God out here and let's hear it. Let's hear it. Bring them on out. Bring them on out. Okay, listen.
Governor, would you like to make your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This summer, I was proud to serve this party as the platform drafting committee chair. As the chair, I come before you today to discuss two important matters related to our party's national platform. As an ordained United Methodist minister, I am here to attest and affirm that our faith and belief in God is central to the American story and informs the values we've expressed in our party's platform. In addition, President Obama recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and our party's platform should as well. Mr. Chairman, I have submitted my amendment in writing, and I believe it is being projected on the screen for the delegates to see. I move adoption of the amendment as submitted and shown to the delegates.
A motion has been made. Is there a second? Is there any further discussion?
Read the motion. Can you see what the motion is? Let's see if we can get that. John, can you see that?
Let's see here.
Give us a moment here. We're pulling this up so we can actually get the motion to you.
It requires a two-thirds vote in the... It requires a two-thirds vote in
Give
the
us one moment.
It requires a two-thirds.
And it's about to come up in just a moment, and we're going to see if we can read the motion to you. And they were pulled Jerusalem as the capital out, mm-hmm. which is...
Okay.
It's so quick, it is it not? So but it flashed.
My goodness, it flashed up and flashed
you
got to
give
right
us a
down.
Second because it is super fast. It is super fast.
He read it. It was interesting. He read it, then they made it very clear in his, what do you call those, jumbotrons? I mean, it was mm-hmm. huge.
Yeah.
So everyone can plainly see it.
Right.
Except
right.
we can't.
It was pretty
quick. It flashes quick. Pretty fast.
We tried. We really tried. Maybe you can make it out on the VFN torch, but we're going to, you know, move on with what's going on. Here again is the governor making the proclamation.
Okay. Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and our party's platform should as well. Mr. Chairman, I have submitted my amendment in writing, and I believe it is being projected on the screen for the delegates to see. I move adoption of the amendment as submitted and shown to the delegate.
You have to understand that this man has a camera at his wife or lady beside him that has a sign that says, you know, Arab American Democrats. Mm. And she's looking at him like, no, you're not talking about Jerusalem. And they're taking his picture like, right? It's like, yeah. It's like the CIA or something. Right. Is it not? You yeah. can see this. I mean, look at her face and his camera taking a picture of this pastor standing up. Listen, church. Listen, Christians, you know, you think you could be friends with those who are not friends with God? Hmm. You think that you can walk hand in hand with darkness? You can think that those who proclaim your destruction that are not going to destroy you, that JJ is not going to be a reality? You know, how do you see Jesus? How do you see the Jews? If you're not for them, then I'm not for you in the context of having that kind of being walking together like that. But listen, this is how they vote. And listen to them boo having Jerusalem in their platform as the capital.
A motion has been made. Is there a second? Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, the matter requires a two-thirds vote in the affirmative. All those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no.
No.
In the opinion of the... Let me do that again. All of those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no.
No.
You just had here, you had the same, they signed the camera back on the Arab American Democratic couple that's there that took the picture of the man, and there was more no's than there were yeses in regards to Jerusalem. That's taking government. It's just amazing. Now listen up. And so the no's won, by the way.
Right.
And
right.
That's called Robert's Rules of Order.
That's right.
The no's won. But now listen what the chairman says.
Look at his face.
Yeah.
I.
I'm gonna.
Dude, this is his moment. This is his moment. Because see, he'll stand alone before God.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
This is his own personal moment. That he could have said, sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, because I'm going to stand before the throne of God and I'm going to be held accountable. It's all yours. I'm out of here. God is God.
Yeah.
And above him, there's none other. And Jerusalem, and you'll hear about it because we're going to continue talking the extra hour, you know, about Jerusalem and where our ships are sitting right outside. And some, again, mm-hmm. so many things. This whole in today's program is so prophetic. And this is his moment, and watch what the chairman did. He's going, yeah, because he realized the no's won. They said, no, we don't mm-hmm. want Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel, which is denying mm-hmm. God.
And then you've got to let them do what they're going to do.
Did you hear that? Ooh. You got to let them do what they're going to do. Mm. I want you to hear that again, because that's like, let the blood be on our head, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I want you to hear that. I don't know if you can hear it. If y'all could turn that up so they can definitely hear it.
Do what they're going to do.
Mm.
I guess.
And then you've got to let them do what they're going to do.
I'll do that one more time.
And then you've got to let them do what they're going to do.
I'll do that one more time.
And that's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. And you could tell. This is not good. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's thinking politically. I don't know if he's thinking judgment seat.
Mm-hmm.
But he's trying to work this thing out because he realized this whole thing that he's involved with just denied God.
God.
And you'll find out more about that because we're going to talk about Jerusalem, and it's not just a piece of land.
Hmm.
And here he's going to say, he's going to try to save it by doing what it does now. Listen up.
All those delegates in favor say aye. All those delegates opposed say no. In the opinion of the chair, two-thirds have voted in the affirmative. The motion is adopted, and the platform has been amended as shown on the screen. Thank you very much.
That, the head of that, is the one that is heading what we're going to be talking about today. And that's a choice that America has made. Don't be blamed. This is the choice that America has made. And they booed. They booed God. And there, I mean, you can see this a video. You can see on the all this is going to be is available to you, and it'll be made available to you on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. And so this couple that was taking pictures of the pastor, that thought, you know, everybody's got some good ideas, whatever party they're in, but you got to make up your mind. I got to stand before God. And this pastor just realized, you know, this is how I stand with God in Jerusalem, and this is how I believe the president stands with God in Jerusalem. But the part, these people around, these Americans around me, they don't stand for the same thing I stand for. As a matter of fact, they boo what I stand for, right? Listen up.
Thank you. Governor Strickland, thank you again for your service. Governor Strickland, thank you again for your service as chair of the platform drafting committee.
You, if you have not yet heard the first part of this, you can hear it and see it on the VFN Torch as well, or on the highlights on your app or Android or your iPhone. But you're listening to VFN Radio, and you can get to us at VFNTV.com. You need to understand prophetically what God does nothing unless he speaks it prophetically to his people first. And he's shouting. Yeah. He's shouting, and we need to listen because just listening, you know, there's just too much to be able to repeat. You got to go back and just listen to it. But the word that was given, and I'm going to be talking about it in the extra hour because we're coming to the end of this hour, the word that was given in 1 year ago this week has come to pass, because remember what I was saying and what we just heard right before the break was that America was, God was laughing over our attempts at this point, because at some point you just got to get right. It doesn't matter what you build, what you, who you choose to lead your country or something, or whatever. It's just, you got to get right. You know, and it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal the land. So the whole thing is that, does it really matter? And nothing matters if God's people are still in rebellion to him. And it's the church, it's us that need to get right before God. It doesn't matter what political, whatever. It matters us. Are we going to begin to walk in the ways of God? Us. You know, how can we continue to tell the world that they need to acknowledge God? Why the only way that much of the church is acknowledging God is with our lips, but not with our life. This is what he says. You flatter me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And it's not what we say. It's what we do. Jesus said he knows us and we know each other by our fruit. We need to repent and go back to our first love and do the works that we first began to walk in when we heard the word of God. You're going to hear about very specifically 1 year to the day after that word was prophesied, after the shot was heard around the world, what's being said as we speak and reported by Fox News and the whole world knows, paying attention to what choices that we made as a nation during that time last year. And you just heard firsthand, you saw what happened to those, the guys who called themselves Republicans, and then the guys who called, the Americans who called themselves Republicans, the Americans who called themselves Democrats. You know, it doesn't matter what party is. You saw what happened. God laughing. He says, I'll laugh at your disaster. I'll laugh at your destruction. And we're seeing things just be set up. But the biggest thing that you heard me say was that Hurricane Isaac, and Isaac means laughter, is a shot fired across the bow of America, a warning shot. And it was followed up within a short moment of time, right after that word was delivered, and God urged me to get it out right away. We did it unusually, got it out on the VFN Torch. Right after that, at the Empire State Building, shots were fired at the Empire State Building, where law enforcement began to shoot. NYPD began to shoot, New York Police Department, and innocent people got shot when they were trying to reach a suspect. Listen, God is speaking to us. There's a reason why the In God We Trust is on the edge of the coin. We still have time. We still have time. We're talking about a prophetic word, several words, and a convergence of words. And speaking of that, convergence is definitely something. If you listen to Convergence, and hopefully I'll make it available to you on the VFN Torch, that will help converge a lot of things that we're talking about from a lot of different prophetic voices to understand that God's saying it aloud.
Mm-hmm.
And but I just want to say this, that as I was saying earlier in the first hour, is, and you got to hear it if you haven't heard it yet, because it's all going to connect and make sense to you, that the ships, the military ships have USS on them because it stands for United States Ship, and you have the Her Majesty's ships in Great Britain, and it represents your power. And we have ships now sitting outside on the west coast of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk more about that in a moment. But, you know, to be able to fire shots and bomb a country that sits on the northern border of Israel, who's threatening to harm Israel. But what I said was, in 1 year ago this week, was that as soon as we chose, we're choosing our leaders, and you understand that, well, what does that really mean? It means that our motives were all messed up when we were choosing who were going to lead us. Israel had their motives all messed up when they were trying to choose somebody other than God. They said, we wanted a king like them and somebody to represent us that does what they do in their king. And of course, Samuel begins to be upset, and he feels like he's being personally rejected because God's form of government was being rejected, and he was in that form of government, apostolic prophetic government. And God told Samuel, he says, listen, he said, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have not yet heard SOS, A Tale of Two Kings, it's a prophetic word about our nation. And America was making a choice, and America made a choice, and now we're walking out the choice that we made. And there's the SOS stands for, is it going to be Saul or Samuel? Samuel represented God's form of government. Remember, God raised him up, and not one of his words fell to the ground because God gave him the words that he spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saul was the king that God chose when they said they wanted a king. SOS. And this is important because, you know, I don't call myself a prophet. I don't do that. But I have prophesied. Mm-hmm. And this means then if we listen to what's going now and begin to respond to it, it'll build your courage to have faith in the prophetic word.
Mm-hmm.
That God is speaking. It's like, oh my goodness, we have direction now. That you can be confident. So, you know what? I'm going to quit second guessing and being double-minded, and I'm going to listen and begin to do what God is saying now mm-hmm. to me, which is, you know, of course, humble ourselves in the presence of God, turn from our wicked ways, you know, repent and seek his face, abide with him. And he begins to hear us, forgive us, and restore us, and restore our land. But it's our Secretary of Defense, for America, his name is John Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
God spoke to me very specifically. Secretary of State, John Kerry. He's the one that's brokered this deal, and that's what the Secretary of State would do anyway,
mm-hmm.
with deciding with firing these shots or not into Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I'm thinking, like, my goodness, God, you had, I mean, and God took me into a vision, if you would, and a dream, and I'm sitting here, you know, talking with Senator Kerry, and everybody counts. Everybody counts. Everybody, what's happening is happening in our presence and what's going on. And he's the one that appears that has brokered this whole deal and this whole concept. And he comes back and he but I'm looking at right here, and you can see this. It'll be on the VFN Torch, that he's having dinner with the King Assad of Syria. Mm-hmm. He's having dinner at a restaurant in old Damascus. I'm going to remember Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that. Remember Paul on the road to Damascus?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to read a prophecy about Damascus. And here we are. We're sitting out there in our ships now. We have four or five, if not more, huge ships. Israel, by the way, is only approximately 70 miles at its widest point. It's a small country.
Mm-hmm.
Syria sits on the northern borders. Damascus is like 100 miles away from Haifa. Haifa's in Israel. It's 100 miles. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about, and this is where, you know, Senator Kerry's having dinner. This is where we're talking about firing these shots into Damascus, which is 100 miles. And Syria has the largest stockpile of chemical weapons, reportedly, in all the world. Mm-hmm. And Israel, as we speak, is issuing out gas masks, and people are buying gas masks. You have little children with this huge gas mask on their faces. Why? Because Syria is saying, America, this is what's being reported, America, if you fire any bombs or you attack us, we're going to attack Israel. And think about it. If you're only 70 miles wide at your widest point, and the Damascus, Syria, the city Damascus in Syria is 90 miles away, it would be nothing to be able to harm the small little 6 million people, 6 million Jews, in the small territory called Israel. Mm-hmm. And what we're taking, this phenomenal risk that's being taken prophetically, God's news behind this, I'm telling you, you know, people say, well, the Lord's not coming back for a million years. He's coming back tomorrow. He's coming back today. Let me tell you, prophecy's being fulfilled so fast. So fast. What I'm about to tell you is probably going to just, you know, sad to say, who would have ever thought the day that America would have ships parked right outside facing towards Israel and Syria, not in defense like the Mediterranean cruises has happened for years where, you know, military goes 6-month med cruise, they would call them, and they would actually keep a watch out what's happening over there. Now we're actually pointing our guns, you know, in there. And this is, and remember the prophetic word, and you can find out more about this prophetic word and listen to the first hour. I'm not going to recoup it again, say it again. But understand this, that the prophetic word was this. When we were choosing our leaders, and this is what Americans were saying, the leadership crews were saying, there was, God was laughing at their attempts when Hurricane Isaac blew right over and shut down the Republican National Convention. And the prophetic word came out that God, you know, God laughs. He's going to laugh at your disaster if you don't respond to my rebuke. Then immediately the empire, shots were being fired at the Empire State Building. Innocent people were being killed. And just September, a few, you know, days later, the other parts of Americans' leadership gatherings were going, we don't want God, and booed Jerusalem. They booed, understand, they booed having Jerusalem, acknowledge Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, which is God. That represents God. You're going to find out, like, Jerusalem's not God, but God says Jerusalem is his. So to deny or divide or do anything to this land is a direct assault against God. And so Americans were shouting, just like they were at the time of Jesus and Barabbas and the crucifixion about to take place. They said, hey, let his blood be on our own head. Mm. Americans were shouting, boo, to what God says about Jerusalem. And they went ahead and passed it against the people's will. Against their will, but the lady beside the chairman prophesied when she said, you got to give them what they want. You've made the rule. You got to give them what they want. And then when everything finally was, all the rules were laid out. All the rules were laid out for the Democrat National Convention. Then when they began, they said, everything was laid out. Now it's time to begin the meeting. It was a lady by the name of Vashti who began it. And it's like, this is huge prophetic things, church. We're looking at God's perspective. And you cannot, and we cannot blame any political party, and we cannot blame anybody in Washington, D.C., because that's 530 people that we chose to send there. It's representative government. Mm-hmm. They are just a reflection of our heart. You know, they didn't boo. They were trying to politically appease everybody. They're like Pontius Pilate going, how do I get out of this? You know, and the people were going, give us Barabbas, you know, type thing. Mm. And they're basically saying, crucify Jerusalem, right?
No doubt, yeah.
So it was a shot. This is the word that God gave me. A Hurricane Isaac that went right over us Americans trying to figure out how to choose a leader. The Republican National Convention, right before the Democrat National Convention, was a shot being fired over the bowel of America. Mm. And it was confirmed by the shot at the Empire. By the NYPD, where innocent people were shot. It was followed by booing God and booing what God says about Jerusalem. And now today, 1 year later, almost to the week of that word being given, Fox News is reporting, and these are the headlines. These are the headlines of the leader that we chose, who was ahead of what? He was ahead of the party that booed God, right?
That's right. Yeah.
It booed Jerusalem, you know. And this pastor did stand up from Ohio, and he says, you know, I stand with God, I stand with Jerusalem, and he said the president does as well. But the people were saying they didn't. And with that, the headlines read today. Today's headlines, 1 year to the day, it says, this is the headlines. It was on Fox News. Obama faces pressure to make case for shot across bow against Syria. Think about that now. Against Syria. Listen to all this. This is the headline that was on Fox News this morning.
Mm.
Obama faces pressure. That's what politics is about. It's about everybody's pressuring everybody and all that kind of stuff. But it holds us individually accountable.
Mm.
Obama faces, that's President Obama to us, but I'm just talking about the headlines say. Obama faces pressure to make case for shot across bow against Syria. Think about this. What was that? It was a warning shot fired across the bow of America. That's, and I'll laugh at your destruction.
Mm-hmm.
For a people who boo Jerusalem, where are the guns pointed? They're pointed in the direction of Israel. Israel's only 70 miles wide, approximately, at its widest point. It's not a big area, and Syria sits Damascus. In Syria, not even Syria, is only 90 miles away from Haifa. Those are two cities inside of each other, which means they are like connected to each other.
Mm-hmm.
With the largest stockpile of chemical weapons, reportedly, in the world. What is going on? And when you saw the booing take place at when the Americans were in North Carolina or whatever that was, the booings, it said Arab American Democrats, mm-hmm. was said. Arab American Democrats. And this whole Arab Spring is going on. And I'm hoping I can get all this in. I might maybe get all this in. I gotta quickly move. But you need to hear this. So that's what Americans were saying. They were booing Jerusalem. Understand that this whole, everything around Israel now, all these nations are in an uprising. Our current leadership said this is a good thing. They call it the Arab Spring. We kind of set the stage for it at the Cairo speech in the very beginning of President Obama's administration when he went to Cairo and empowered the Muslim Brotherhood. Think about it. And who's fighting? It's reportedly that King Assad, his father drove out the Muslim Brotherhood and treated them very badly. And now it's actually the Muslim Brotherhood or their militant wing, reportedly, according to reports, the Hamas that's coming in there to begin to fight against and remove Assad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that's what's happening all the way around it. But now, on every side now, every side of Israel is surrounded, every nation surrounding it right now.
Mm.
I mean, who would ever thought that we were going to be sitting out there with five ships now and be in America that surrounded one side? Who would ever thought that day would come?
Wow.
But before I share with you this, I want you to hear this report from CBN News about how the Muslim Brotherhood is all in our government now. All in our government. This is all going to make sense. Listen up. Reportedly, according to CBN News.
Before President Obama departed for Israel earlier this year, he took time to consult with Mohammed Majid. Majid has reportedly become a trusted administration advisor on issues ranging from immigration to counterterrorism policy. White House officials have praised Majid's organization, the Islamic Society of North America, or ISNA, as a pillar of the American Muslim community. But according to one analyst, ISNA's agenda is anything but mainstream.
We also know from the Muslim Brotherhood's own documents that this is a Muslim Brotherhood front, where they state it explicitly in one of their 1991 secret memos.
Ryan Morrow works for the Clarion Project, an organization dedicated to exposing radical Islam. He told CBN News that internal Muslim Brotherhood documents captured by the FBI name ISNA as one of 29 American Muslim organizations with ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. The Brotherhood gave birth to both Al-Qaeda and Hamas.
It's also easy to tell what the Brotherhood's agenda is because they've told us in their own documents, which is they've said that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within. And most importantly, they say they want to do it at the hands, not just of the believers, the Muslim Brotherhood supporters, but at the hands of the unbelievers, us.
ISNA began in 1982 in Plainfield, Indiana. A founding member, Sami Alarian, was convicted in a U.S. federal court of conspiring to support the terror group Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Abdurrahman Alamoudi also worked closely with ISNA for years. He's currently serving a federal prison sentence for funding al-Qaeda. Despite its radical roots, ISNA has expanded from its heartland base to the power corridors of Washington, D.C.
The remarkable thing is many of these founders who've been implicated in terrorism cases, named as unindicted co-conspirators in terrorism cases, are now consulting with the Obama administration.
Investigative journalist Patrick Poole says ISNA's founders were even given a tour of the White House in March 2013.
When it was closed off to the American public, they were meeting with senior White House officials, including the head of the Office of Public Engagement, who said that ISNA was the primary Islamic group that the White House does their Muslim outreach through.
It wasn't long ago that the U.S. government had a far less positive view of ISNA. In 2007, federal prosecutors named the group as an unindicted co-conspirator in the largest terrorism financing trial in American history. The focus of that trial was an organization called the Holy Land Foundation. Its leaders were convicted of funding the terror group Hamas.
The Holy Land Foundation was spun off of ISNA, and here we have the United States government going into federal court saying these are bad guys, they're supporting terrorism, they're a front for the Muslim Brotherhood, and then as soon as they leave federal court, these are our outreach partners.
That outreach includes a role for ISNA in shaping America's counterterrorism policies. ISNA President Mohammed Majid is a member of a Homeland Security Working Group on, quote, violent extremism. ISNA also participated in a 2012 review of FBI counterterrorism training documents. The Bureau agreed to purge documents that ISNA and other Muslim groups found offensive or Islamophobic. Poole says the fox is guarding the henhouse.
We see a repeated pattern from FBI reports, from Department of Justice evidence in these terrorism trials, that groups like ISNA and their Muslim Brotherhood fronts, they're here to Islamicize America.
ISNA did not respond to CBN News' request for comment. As for the Obama administration, its relationship with ISNA continues. Earlier this month, ISNA officials met with Secretary of State John Kerry to discuss the latest attempt at peace talks between Israel and the Palestinians.
The White House is not embarrassed about this relationship. They publicly brag about the relationship and the fact that they're going to continue it.
And it's not just the White House where ISNA is making inroads. The group's interfaith office meets with Christian and Jewish groups around the country. And an ISNA leader even spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast earlier this year. Eric Stackelbeck, CBN News, Washington.
It's so important what you're hearing here, because when we come back, when we come back from this break, I'm going to begin to give you a prophetic thing, a prophetic statement. I believe the Lord has just spoken to me, a fresh word that's going to make so much sense and hopefully empower you as it does me to say, I have the fear of the Lord in my heart. And dear God, I want to do what you want from me in this season. I want history to be spoken of me that I did what Jehoshaphat did. I humbled myself before God, did what was right before him, and allowed him to begin to defeat our adversary. I am speaking prophetically today. I mean, God took me into a vision, a dream, and showed me the Secretary of State, John Kerry, who is the one who setting things up for our response to, as Fox News states it, that the president's being persuaded to take the shot over the vow. Which is a prophetic fulfillment, and God is speaking. We need to listen to what he's saying. But this is the word. Understand that you know, hearing the whole context of this, that those who don't love God don't love Jerusalem. Those who don't acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God, who are religious, hate Jerusalem.
Hmm.
Not the non-religious, the non-religious folks pretty much hate anything that keeps them from sinning, that blocks that. But in regards to the ones who are religious, because the very presence of Jesus, it differentiates false gods from real God. And because he's the only way to God. Every other way is a thief and a robber.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that denies him is anti-him, anti-Jesus, of the spirit of what? Antichrist. They're right. Anti. It's not, you know, everybody's got this big picture in their head. It's like anti. It's against Jesus. And when you're anti-Jerusalem, you're anti-God.
That's right.
You know, and you, and so this, so when I'm thinking about, God just had me pondering, just overtook me. And I remember when I was, and this is all connected, when I was in school, the last thing I think was on my mind at the time was school. I was someone who, I was actually work part of the day and go to school part of the day. And I thought life didn't move fast enough. And now I can only wish it would slow down.
Yeah, right.
And, I remember them teaching you history, and I couldn't believe these tests had all these dates on it. And I would just, you know, I would gripe and complain. Everybody would gripe and complain. All we're learning is a whole bunch of dates, 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 dates. What does that mean? What does that mean? Just teach us what happened, and then we'll do our best with that. And what was really going on when you don't know dates, when we don't understand when things happen in the context of the timeline of life, nothing really matters. It doesn't integrate everything. But when you know dates, this is when you don't know dates, but you know a whole bunch of facts, you're good at playing Jeopardy, maybe. You're good at playing Trivial Pursuit. But in regards to having any wisdom and understanding how that applies to things, you don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know. And when you know the dates, you start seeing like, oh my goodness, this was all happening at the very same time. And this was happening at the same time that was happening. And even though in my mind these are all separate events, this is like a fabric being woven together about how we got here where we are today, how we're here, and how we where we'll be in the future. And but not to know the dates, it's like having a whole bunch of rabbit trails, a whole bunch of roads that just kind of come out from you like a starburst, but don't touch each other. They don't have anything to do with each other. So you're nothing but just like a, you're like a Google search. You're like a Bing search. You know, somebody asks you a question, you crank it off. How it relates to things, how it relates to the fabric of society and our where we're heading as a people and how we got here, you can't really talk about that, but you can crank off true, false, yes. Yes, this was his name. That was his name. But the end, when you weave it all together with the dates, and so God began to speak to me last night, began to speak to me about Archduke Ferdinand. Archduke Ferdinand was in line for the throne in Hungary. He's a royal prince. And this one man, who they didn't like his policies or whatever, these men came up and they assassinated him and his wife. And that is how, that was the first step, the first thing that happened in the context of how World War I began. President Woodrow Wilson was the president of America at the time. He got into presidency by saying that we will not go to war, you know, and he barely won the election, but that was what he told the people, we're not going to go to war, we're going to keep you out of war. And so World War I began with one shot by an assassin. And let me tell you where that shot was. That shot was 100 years ago next year. 100 years ago next year in 2014, it will be 100 years since 1914 in June when the shot that was fired that began World War I.
Wow.
Which out of that, out of the context of that, came the United Nations. It was called the League of Nations. Because eventually when America got in the war, because, you know, President Woodrow Wilson had a large government, he wanted to be, and you need to find out, and hopefully it's all linked if you're listening on the torch, that Woodrow Wilson, understanding his mindset, was he saw big government was the answer, but when everybody was in war in the world, nobody was buying our products, our gross national product, our tax base, that's all we had it pretty much at that time,
mm-hmm.
was people buying our goods and services. And so that the funding for the big machine stopped. And so we went to war to be able to fund big government. And we were in World War I. How did it begin? It began with one shot. And so when you hear about Archduke Ferdinand, that was 100 years ago next year. And next year, 2014, is the year of the four blood moons beginning.
Yeah.
which we can't even go there.
Mm-mm.
We are such on the edge of a precipice. It's a worldwide happening. And we as God's people need to be hearing the voice of the Lord, hearing what the Spirit says to us, the church, and humbling ourselves and responding and getting our life right. Listen, if you're already in shambles, if you're already frazzled already, and then all of a sudden a hurricane, a whirlwind comes your way, hang it up. It's over. You're not going to make it. But if you're already holding on and standing on the rock of Jesus Christ, if you're already standing firm and walking and you've already grown and matured and hearing his voice, which you can begin today, go to iabide.org. iabide.org and begin to abide now. Now stop whatever you're doing and learn to hear the voice of the Lord and walk with him, because he loves you. He has a plan for your life. He will protect you. He will guide you. And if you're walking with him, you're okay with whatever happens, because you know it's what he wanted you to go through. And he can bring you through anything if you'll hold on to his hand. 100 years ago, next year will be the shot that was fired that began World War. World War. And we are right now, there are so many Archduke Ferdinand moments that have taken place. I know when our president talked about the particular man that was set on fire in, John could tell me the nation that he was set on fire. He was a hot dog vendor. He set him on fire and set himself on fire in protest. And our president said that this is that moment. Mm. This is that moment.
Wow.
And what happened was, when the Archduke was assassinated, then the country who sent the assassins in, then they turned against that country, and then they declared war on that country. And this country declared war on that country, which led to this country, and then Japan partnered with us in this country, and all, and it just progressed like dominoes. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, you had two huge factions, you know, where you had fighting each other, and you had the Allied forces, which is France and the British Empire, Austria, Canada, India, Newfoundland, New Zealand, South Africa, United Nations, Russia, Italy, United States, Siberia, Romania, Japan, Belgium, Greece, and Portugal, and more, fighting against what's the German Empire, you know, Austria, Hungary, the Ottoman Empire. Hello. Mm-hmm. We just gave the Ottoman Empire an Iron Curtain. Turkey, the capital, the head of the Ottoman Empire, Turkey, who just fired all their generals. And you just heard who is partnering with the Muslim Brotherhood, who empowered the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. I mean, he is Jehoiakim, bro. Is Jehoiakim. He is God's set man. And we don't need to look to man. We need to look to God and say, God, you are about to discipline us. You're about to put us in a time of captivity if we don't raise our heads up and begin to look to you and humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways. And the Ottoman Empire, we put a protective Iron Curtain. We did that. We sent them our own stuff. And as soon as we sent them the Iron Curtain, it was right after that that the head of Turkey put their generals in prison. It's reportedly they put their Fox News, CBN News reports that the generals who lead their armies, who always, every time that the radical Islam would try to push its way into Turkey, the generals would rise up and they would defend the Constitution. So the generals were always the issue in regards to they would defend the Constitution. Because, by the way, every elected official and every military person in America swears an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States. And so that was normal for the military to rise up and defend the Constitution of Turkey. But guess what? They just put them all in jail. They arrested them. And now they're putting their people over to what used to fight against them to keep it, which means you're about to see an overturn in Turkey. The Ottoman Empire. You're seeing this whole thing come up again. Who was World War One? What was it? You had America, Great Britain, France, the whole kaboom that I told you about, the Allied powers, they call them, were fighting against the German Empire, the Austrian and Hungary Empire, the Ottoman Empire, and Bulgaria, and just there's more. And what came out of that? Let me tell you what came out of that. And this is prior to the technology we have. When you look back at war back then, you go like, oh my goodness, you were fighting with that? That's how you did that?
Mm-hmm.
But it was the greatest amount of people that have ever died on the history of our earth in battle.
Oh, wow.
And these two wars that happened so close together, not that many people have ever died in a world war, because it was always like compartmentalized battles. But it was reported that Over 5.5 million died in the Allied forces. Over 4.3 million died in those that the Allied forces were fighting. Over 12,800,000 people were wounded in the Allied forces, and 8 million were wounded in the military forces. Now listen to this. Missing in the Allied forces, which is the side we're fighting, it was 4 million.
Wow.
We're missing. 4,100,000+ and missing on the opponent side in the world, you have these two powers, was 3.6 million, over 3.6 million. I mean, you're looking at just, my goodness, it was just huge. If you add all those numbers up, and if you, when you go back and you listen to the prophetic word that was given 1 year ago this day, I talk about men still want to rule the world. That's what I talked about. Men still want to rule the world. And you hope it's not true, you wish it's not true, but it is so true. I really sense in my heart right now, there is groundwork being laid for world rule. And in that world rule, and this is what he says prophetically in his word, that there'll be a you can't buy or sell without this particular mark being able to be handed out. But I really believe that they're fashioning and honing a position. I'm not talking political here. I think they're fashioning and deciding who they want the governor of America to be. Which we now call the president, because President Bill Clinton is going to be considered president of the world, along with other elders. There's a reason why George Soros invited, had President Bill Clinton and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's wedding at his daughter's house. He says that these walls should come down, these dividing walls, these borders need to come. We need to ease down, gradually down America and the European Union. Ease it down. You know, the people, there are going to be some people hurt, and then bring it back up and just have a new form of world government. And you remember the elders. You looked at Branson. You looked at Jimmy Carter. You looked at Bill Clinton. You looked at several others. There's like seven of them that call themselves the elders of the world. And it's like they're thinking world now, because you have the technology and the ability to manage, and men think that they can do things better. And anytime man talks about utopia and our own strength, it ends up being something like happened in Germany, because that's exactly what Hitler said he wanted, to be able to be able to provide for everybody, and you know, make sure, because they're going through this huge economic crisis and that type of thing, and it ended up with just persecution and JJ too, the Jews and the Christians being killed. And so here we are. You know what has taken place? Well, here prophetically, when you think about the headlines, the whole world is waiting for, with all these, I mean, many Archduke Ferdinand moments have taken place. I mean, come on, that was just one person who was in line for a throne. He wasn't even somebody that had a throne. It ended up progressively, like dominoes, people declaring war on each other. And now here we are pointing our guns at Damascus. It's reported that Damascus is where we're pointing our guns at. Well, let me read to you from Isaiah chapter 17. Let me read to you. Remember, we have a Muslim Brotherhood integration into our society, into our homeland security, what we just heard reported, that we have the daughter of one of the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood that was assistant to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, whose husband is running for the mayor of New York, where the United Nations is located. Uma, who wasn't vetted, according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann, who has now stepped out of office. I mean, vetted, in other words, like, check her out. Well, she was the daughter of the Muslim Brotherhood, big leader, mother and father. And now we're positioning ourselves. Our battleships are on the, now Israel's totally surrounded by radical Muslim sympathizers who do not feel that Jerusalem is what God says it is. And by the way, the Dome of the Rock, I mean, you got to understand, you don't know until you've been there, that the enemy's been trying to claim it forever. But I got good news for you. So our guns are pointed at Damascus. They're pointing at Damascus. And this is what Isaiah 17, I'll do my best to read it. This is a prophecy against Damascus, Syria, which is, it's what touches the top of Israel. He says, see, Damascus will no longer be a city, but will become a heap of ruin. The cities will be deserted and left to flocks, which will lie down, and no one, with no one to make them afraid. The fortified city will disappear from Ephraim. The rural power of Damascus, the remnant of Aram, will be like the glory of the Israelites, declares the Lord Almighty. In that day, the glory of Jacob will fade, and the fat of the body will waste away. It will be as when reapers harvest the standing grain, gathering the grain in their arms, as when someone gleans heads of grain in the valley of Ephraim. Yet some gleaning will remain, as when the olive trees are beaten, leaving two or three olives in the topmost branches, four or five of the fruitful boughs, declares the Lord, the God Almighty. In that day, people will look to their Maker and their eyes to the Holy One of Israel. They will not look at the altars, the work of their hands, and they will have no regard for Asherah poles and the incense altars their fingers have made. In that day, their strong cities, which they left because of the Israelites, will be like places abandoned to thicket and undergrowth, and all will be desolation. You have forgotten God, your Savior. You have not remembered the rock, that's capital R, your fortress. Therefore, though you set out the finest plants and plant imported vines, though on that day you set them out, you make them grow. In the morning when you plant them, they'll bring their bud. Yet the harvest will be as nothing. In that day of disease and incurable pain, woe to the many nations that rage. They rage like the raging sea. Woe to the peoples who roar. They roar like the roaring of great waters. Although the peoples roar like roar of surging waters, when he rebukes them, they flee far away, driven before the wind like chaff on the hills, like tumbleweed before a gale. In the evening, sudden terror. Before the morning, they are gone. This is the portion of those who loot us. This is the portion of those who loot us, the lot of those who plunder us. Listen, you cannot stand like America just stood against Israel and Jerusalem. We are pointing our guns at Damascus, but our hearts are pointed against God and against Jerusalem. The enemies, when you think about the enemies of Jerusalem, the enemies of Israel are enemies of God. And it just makes you think about the fulfillment of Zechariah 12 when he says, all the nations around her will be a trembling cup. See, Jerusalem's enemies will be destroyed. That's what he talks about. And this is the prophecy, the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Just so you know, if you're worried about how Israel's going to turn out. He says, the Lord, this is Ezekiel 12, the Lord who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundations of the earth, who forms the human spirit within a person, declares, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the nations surrounding peoples reeling. Let me say that again. I am going to make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Think about reeling. Like, it's just like, you know, all of a sudden it's just going to be like, bam, like some gamma ray or something. Bam, God's just going to touch it. And all these people that are laying their hands on Israel, including, you just heard us boo him. We just heard us boo it. So are we a friend of Israel? We're not a friend. We are. Personally, I am. But are you? Are you silent? He goes on to say, Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem on that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her. Think about this. When all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, you have haters in Syria, haters in Lebanon, haters in Jordan, haters in Iran. You have haters in Iraq. You have haters in Egypt. You have haters in Libya. Now you have haters in boats outside on the western coast. Who is the commander in chief of those boats? Who's the one that can say fire? Who is the one that the Fox News reported just this morning that he is being pressured to decide if he's going to fire the shot over the bow of his boat? That's us. That's our leader that we chose, that America chose. On that day, he says, Ezekiel 12:3, on that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, and that's where it is right now, bro. That's where we are. He says, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. In other words, you can do all that you want to do, but this puppy ain't going nowhere. And all who try to move Israel, all who try to move it, will injure themselves. What does that mean? We're about to be injured. If we don't humble ourselves and get back to our roots and who we are before God, and that God lifted this nation up and God could take it down, we're going to be injured with the rest of them. Mm-hmm. We're going to be injured with the rest of them. As a matter of fact, you can see on the VFN Torch, and hopefully it's made available if you're listening to this, in regards to every time we did something wrong with Israel, something wrong happened to America. Well, this is the biggest wrong ever done from America. It started at the Cairo speech, and it led all the way to today. We created the Ring of Fire. We were instigators into this Ring of Fire that we called the Arab Spring. And he says, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations, and all who try to move it will injure themselves. On that day, I will strike every horse with panic and its raiders with madness, declares the Lord. In other words, you're going to lose your mind. When he says, I'm going to strike every horse with panic, that means everybody that has power, that has the ability to do something, they're just going to panic. And what happens? It'll be just like what happened with Gideon. You start seeing people turn in on themselves. And they just start, their mind goes crazy. It's like, dude, you're shooting, this is friendly fire. You know, all of a sudden you'll watch the enemy just turn in on themselves. I will keep watch, a watchful eye, he declares, over Judah. And I will bind all the horses of the nation. In other words, I'll bind all the power of all the nations. Then the clans of Judah will say in their hearts, the people of Jerusalem are strong because the Lord Almighty is their God. In other words, all of a sudden the eyes, we're looking real close to the veil being removed off the eyes of the Jews. They're surrounded. Mm-hmm. They're surrounded. We're one of them. You can't say those ships got there on the wind from the mouths of people when they utter the words, boo, and it blew the sails of those ships over there into the Mediterranean, backed by the wind of hurricane laughter. He said, they will consume all the surrounding people right and left. Think about this. He says, on that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a fire pot in a wood pile, like a flaming torch among sheaves. They will consume all the surrounding people right and left, and Jerusalem will remain intact in her place. Imagine you had a big pot and it's in the fire. That means that it's filling the heat. That heat's going to cause Israel to look up and say, how are we making this thing? It's God's, how are we making it? And everybody around is being consumed by this fire that God's allowing to happen. And they said, the Lord will save the dwellings of Judah first, so that the honor of the house of David and of Jerusalem's inhabitants may be greater than that of Judah. On that day, the Lord will shield those who live in Jerusalem, so that the feeblest amongst them will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord going before them. It's Michael, huh? Mm-hmm. On that day, I will set out to destroy all the nations that attack Jerusalem. On that day, I will set out to attack all the nations, destroy all the nations that attacked Israel. And then he says, and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look to me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him, as one mourns for their only child, a grieving bitterly over the loss of a firstborn. On that day, the weeping of Jerusalem will be as great as the weeping of Megiddo, the plains of Megiddo. The land will mourn. Each clan by itself with their wives will mourn. He goes on to list all of those. In other words, Israel's going to be saved, not only saved from a natural battle, but they're going to be saved by the Messiah because they're going to see him. When they see him, guys, ladies, you're looking at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, in Joel chapter 3, and this is what he says, and that's why I said you need to go back, you need to listen to the word that was given from the VFN Dream Center about Jehoshaphat. He says, in those days, at that time when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will put them on trial for what they did to my inheritance, the people of Israel, because they've scattered my people amongst the nation and divided my land. America is not going to be held harmless for what we just did and what we're doing in this ring of fire. Are you crazy? You can't blame that on a person or Washington, D.C. We put those people there.
Right.
It's us. It's a government by the people and for the people. Granted, you may have been too lazy to get involved, but your indecision and your lack of participation put them there. And we will be judged on how we treated the land and people of Israel. And look how we're treating them at this moment. That ring of fire was led by a speech at Cairo. The Cairo speech. And I prophesied about it on VFN radio. Is America the state of the nation? The state of the nation. Also, you can see it on VFN TV. And then he goes and says, they cast lots for my people and traded my boys for prostitutes and sold my girls for wine and drink. Now, what we have against you, Tyre and Sidon, and all the regions of Phoenicia, listen to me. Are you repaying me for something I have done? If you're paying me back, I will swiftly and speedily return it right on your heads. God is going to begin to judge those who've actually come against the apple of his eye. You see, when you don't stand for Israel, you don't stand for God. God chose Israel to show himself mighty. So to diss what he's using to show himself mighty is to diss him who is mighty. To take the apple of God's eye and stick your ship in it? Understand that we right now are part of surrounding, we created the fire, the ring of fire, the Arab Spring, and understand the radical Islam, Muslim Brotherhood, anti-Jerusalem, anti-Jesus as the Son of God. And you gotta hear Muslim Brotherhood 101 to understand all this, where we're talking, so you can know what you're talking about. God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We surrounded Israel with that. We orchestrated that. And what you have behind that, because, you know, God gives people over to their evil intentions, is obviously somebody's wanting to rule the world. They have a whole plan and a scheme using technology to be able to make one world type economy or something of that nature. But they don't realize that they're actually being used to fulfill end time prophecy, and all of a sudden destruction is going to come upon them.
All right.
But we as the church, we're sleeping. We actually think the people that we hired, the 530 people that we hired to go to Washington, D.C., It's their fault. 300 million people are thinking that the 530 people in D.C. that we hired to go there, that we chose to go there, and we pay them out of our tax dollar base, that's their fault. It's not their fault. Mm-hmm. We chose them. Have you called them? Have you talked to them? Have you informed yourself? They want to know. They have town hall meetings. Share your heart with them. Share this with them. Send this to them, your leader. Let them hear. Let them see the post on the VFN Torch with all this in one post. You'll have everything right there. You can just send a just powerhouse post filled with the prophetic words of knowledge to be able to give them an anointed word that helps them make a right decision in the fear of the Lord. Because that, for example, that mayor of L.A., I mean, when he paused right there, that was his moment, man. That was his moment before God. He could, because he knew, and I don't know whether it was political or what. I mean, obviously, politics is involved in it. But he's going to stand alone. God doesn't see him as this particular party or nothing. He sees him as a human being created in the image and likeness of God. That was his moment to go, you know, guys, either you're going to bring God back in, Jerusalem as the capital, and we're going to acknowledge God, or I'm out of here. But he didn't. And then the lady prophesied and said, we've already made the rule. They've already done it. You've got to give them what they want. Mm-hmm. And then once they got all the rules together, Vashti began the meeting. Begin the meeting. It's time for us to hear the wisdom crying aloud in the streets. To hear it crying aloud in the streets. Out in the open, wisdom cries aloud. She raises her voice in the public squares. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you simple people continue your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools' knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you, and I will make known to you my teachings. But since you have refused to listen when I called, and no one paid attention when I stretched out my hand, and since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I, in turn, will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when disaster and trouble overwhelms you, then they will call to me and I will not answer. They will look to me, but they won't find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept the advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them. And the complacency of American church, the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.